Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today is very similar to the one presented on a recent podcast. It comes from Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, where Jesus is speaking. And he says, "Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." The Storytelling Time podcast this week comes from chapter 4 in the book, Heaven Can't Wait or Can It?, the sequel. The title of the chapter is Off the Straight and Narrow Path. And the title of the podcast today is Maggie's Diversion. Before we start with our story today, I'd like to give some tips on becoming an author that I found on the internet. The title of this piece of advice is 11 Top Tips on Becoming an Author That Really Work. I'll review the first 4 of these tips on this podcast. The first tip is to pick a writing skill to improve, like improving grammar, for example. The more sentences you write, the stronger your command of the language will become. Number 2, write more stories. Every author should try writing a short story at some point. A short story won't take months to write, even if you never publish it. Consider it a type of writing practice that improves your storytelling skills. Number 3, don't let perfectionism halt your writing career. In other words, don't worry about criticism. And finally, number 4, act like a successful writer. 2 keys to writing like a professional is to 1, write every day and not just when you are inspired. And 2, commit to reaching a certain word count each day. We will continue to give more tips from this article on the next podcast. Now, we'll get on with our story after the following break. Stay with us. Welcome back. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way, which leads to life, and there are few who find it, Jesus said as he addressed the multitude. Certainly, Missy didn't think Maggie had taken the narrow path when she found out her daughter had accepted a marriage proposal from Fred so soon after his return from Hawaii. She wanted so much for Maggie to stay on that straight and narrow path, as it was constantly taught at Mark Methodist Church, at least as she perceived in her own mind. Missy thought that John Jr., the son of the pastor of the church, would be the perfect fit for her. Missy believed that her feelings were confirmed when her daughter finally married the popular preacher, but John's untimely death from injuries received in a car accident prevented those two from building a life together. Missy, along with Matthew and Maggie, had survived the accident. Missy often expressed her feelings about the tragedy to her husband. It now had been some time since the accident when Missy and Matthew were sitting near their fireplace in the living room on a cold and wintry night, early in December. The time was festive as they prepared for the Christmas holiday. Christmas carols filled the air as they sat watching that fireplace and listening to the sounds of the season. The time gave Mincy ample opportunity to soak in the joys of this special season. But she couldn't help but think of the sadness surrounding the loss of her son-in-law in that accident. It was a time she also voiced her concerns about Maggie getting married to Fred so soon after the death of John Jr. Mincy said, "You know what, Matthew? I still don't know what came over Maggie to accept the marriage proposal from that fellow Fred. It just don't seem to be the right fit." Matthew responded, "Oh, Mincy, the fellow is all right. Just give him a chance. I just think you haven't gotten over his death, over the death of John Jr. yet." "Well, okay," Mincy responded. Then she continued to say, "I guess you're right, Matthew. And I do miss John Jr. a lot. But I think I'm accepting his loss more and more each day. I know you never really get over a death so close to you, but I'm getting better day by day." Mincy went on to talk about a more immediate concern. She told Matthew, "You know, honey, my concern now is with that new husband of Maggie's. Well, I know they've been married a while now, but it seems as though he would come with Maggie more often when she comes to visit us." During the visits that Maggie made to see her mother and disabled father, Fred was seldom with her. Maggie always contended that he was absorbed in his work, either adapting to his new position at Mevco Industries in Chicago, where he had relocated from Hawaii, or busy with his new business endeavor as an author. Mincy finally decided that she would just take a wait-and-see attitude toward the matter. As time went on, Fred did visit Maggie's parents more often, and slowly Mincy warmed up to him. But as it turned out, Mincy's concern about Fred would not become her main focus. After all, Mincy had become rather fond of Fred, despite her lukewarm attitude towards him prior to John's death, as well as for a while after that horrendous car accident. Yes, Mincy had grown to love Fred every bit the way she did Maggie's previous husband, John. After all, Fred was instrumental in helping Matthew after he fell while trying to hang Christmas decorations. She did have some concerns, however, about her daughter's new husband earlier in their marriage. But those concerns now were becoming less and less in the mind of Mincy. She was growing to appreciate Fred's love for her daughter. It turned out that Mincy's concern should not have been with her son-in-law, Fred, but rather with her daughter. As usual, after a week of conversation over the phone, Mincy looked forward to seeing Maggie when she arrived for the weekend, as she did on many weekends when she decided to come to see them, which was growing to be less frequent these days. Yes, Mincy's attention needed to be on the fact that their daughter was not visiting them as much as she had been before. On one weekend, Maggie had decided to make another detour, one that kept her from going to Flint at all on this particular weekend. Maggie again decided to stop in Detroit, but this time not to visit her old church. She went to her former work site, the law office, where she was lead staff administrator. Fortunately, her friend Sandra often visited Mincy and Matthew, as she promised she would do after Maggie first introduced her to them, at least on most weekends. On this particular weekend, however, the weekend of Maggie's diversion away from Flint, Sandra would not visit those she called her surrogate parents. It was for personal reasons, she told them. After hearing that Sandra would not be coming to Flint, Missy and Matthew look forward to seeing Maggie even more on this particular weekend, but that would not be the case. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. When Maggie finally arrived to her former workplace, she went directly to the reception area where she once sat. She approached a nice-looking fellow who was receiving guests. "May I help you?" the attendant asked, as Maggie stood there reminiscing about her time in this office when she was doing what this fellow was doing now, that is, receiving visitors. After a brief pause, Maggie replied, "I'm Maggie, and I'm looking for Miss Hughes," she said, speaking of Sandra by her last name. "I'm Attorney Bates, and I'm sitting in for Miss Hughes, who's gone out to lunch." "It's a pleasure meeting you, sir," Maggie said. Then she continued to say, "I once was in the same position as Miss Hughes, the lead staff administrator." "Well, well. Yes, Miss Hughes has mentioned you a lot and talked about how you helped her in this position." "It's so nice meeting you," he said to Maggie. Then she told him, "I'm here to see Sandra, but since she's not here right now, I'll just go around and see some of my old workmates before I leave." "Feel free to do just that," the attorney responded. Maggie spent the next few minutes going around meeting and speaking to as many of her former colleagues as she could find. In the back of her mind, she was hoping that she would run across the coworker that she was previously involved with. For Maggie, it was a battle of the minds between doing what was right for her to do, that is, to continue driving to Flint to see her parents, or accept the leading of her flesh to reconnect with an old flame. There certainly was a war going on within her spirit. After about an hour spent talking with several of her former workmates, Maggie came to her senses and decided she needed to be on her way to Flint. One problem Maggie didn't anticipate was the current stormy weather conditions. Between the time Maggie went into the law office and the time she came back to get into her car to continue her drive to Flint, snow flurries had developed, and the road began to be treacherous. She remembered the fatal accident she was a part of that took the life of her first husband, John. So, while walking toward her vehicle, she decided to stay in Detroit for the night. Another concern Maggie thought about was the parking spot she was in, but it allowed for only 1 hour of legal parking, after which violators were subject to be ticketed. Well, she certainly didn't want that. Maggie had secured the temporary parking space to arrange for her lodging for the night. She knew she would need to get to her car within the hour because of the time restriction. Besides, before her awareness of an oncoming storm, she thought she needed only 1 hour to tend to her business. But oh, how she remembered vehicles being towed from this lot for being illegally parked when she worked for the firm. Once Maggie did what she came to do, that is, visiting her former workplace and meeting as many of her former workmates as possible, and to seek lodging for the night, she went outside the building and returned to her vehicle. But it was too late when she got there, because she saw an officer already placing a ticket on her windshield. When she saw that, she cried out to the officer, "Wait a minute! Wait a minute, sir! I'm ready to leave!" But her words had no effect. He had already positioned the ticket on the windshield of her car. Even before the officer turned around, he answered Maggie, "Sorry, miss, but it's too late. I've already written the ticket. When he did turn around, to his surprise, he saw that it was Maggie, an old close friend. But Maggie responded first. Freddie! She simply called his name. She could hardly believe it. She could hardly believe it was the co-worker she once was involved with who stood in front of her. I cannot believe it's you, Maggie continued to say. Maggie, hello, girl. You look as good as ever. How have you been? He asked. Instead of answering his question directly, she said to him, Hey, I'm really surprised to see you. Then she gathered herself and added, Now, are you really going to give me that ticket? Well, I've already written it and given it to you. But I can take it back if you agree to see me later tonight, he propositioned her. Freddie, you know I'm married now. Yeah, and you were married then, but it didn't keep us from coming together, he said, referring to their relationship when she was married to John. They also were seeing each other when she first reconnected with Fred after his return from Hawaii. Maggie responded to Freddie's comment by saying, That's true, Freddie, but I've grown a lot since then. Then Freddie quickly added, Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be insensitive. And oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your last husband's death. So you're remarried now? He asked. Then Maggie replied, Yes, I am married now. Then he said, Well, anyway, think about what I said. I live at the same place. Then he began walking away. Maggie turned and walked away herself. She had a lot on her mind as she drove away from the parking area of her former employer. It was decision time. Would she continue to flint, canceling the reservation she had made for lodging, knowing the risk she would take in traveling in such bad weather conditions, or would she stay in Detroit as she really wanted to do, to utilize the reservation she had made? Thoughts of the accident that took her first husband weighed on Maggie, and in truth, she wanted to stay in Detroit anyway, not just to keep herself off the road on a stormy night. But she also had serious thoughts about renewing her relationship with her former co-worker. Besides, she now considered having that parking ticket taken away as a main reason to stay. But in her thinking, it would be only a side benefit. The real advantage of her remaining in Detroit on this night would be to possibly reconnect with an old friend. Maggie convinced herself that she really didn't want to pay the fee for being illegally parked, so she decided to accept the offer that Freddie made to her, to take back the ticket if she would only come to see him. Let's take another break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. As twilight fell upon the western horizon, snow flurries began to dot the evening sky over Detroit. The weather gave Maggie justification for her not continuing to flint to see her parents, she felt. So, Maggie ended up calling her mother to tell her of her plans. Mama, I'll be staying over in Detroit tonight because of the weather. It's really getting bad out here. Okay, Maggie, I understand, Missy replied. Then she continued, But we were really looking forward to seeing you this weekend, especially when Sandra called and said she wouldn't be able to visit us. But we'll be all right, Maggie. Just go ahead and stay in Detroit as you had planned. That weather is nothing to play with, as we all know, with the accident that we had. It's just too bad out there to be on these roads. While disappointed that Sandra wouldn't be visiting her folks on this weekend, Maggie was relieved that her parents understood her situation. Well, Maggie didn't tell her parents everything. Nevertheless, while disappointed, no one knew more than Missy the dangers of driving in snowy conditions. The snow flurries were not in the forecast and took most locals, including Maggie, by surprise. She remembered the proposition that Freddie had made to her concerning her parking ticket, and she anticipated that he was expecting her to come to his place to pick the ticket up that night. Even though Maggie had daycare responsibilities and being a road warrior, driving to Flint as often as she could and having a happy marriage to husband Fred, she hoped Freddie still had feelings for her. The real question was what kind of feelings would she have for him, given her status as being married again. A battle was going on in her spirit between whether to do what was right and not being tempted to see her former friend or give in to the fleshly desires that she had. Maggie tried as much as she could to justify returning to see Freddie. After all, she really did not want to be liable to pay that illegal parking fine. In the end, she convinced herself that she needed to see him. The only problem was the weather. The roads had become very treacherous. So Maggie decided to keep that reservation at a local hotel for the night, and she delayed seeing Freddie until the following night. She had called Missy to let her know that she wouldn't be coming to see them that night. What she did not mention to her mother was her plans for the remainder of the weekend, plans that involved her former co-worker, Freddie. After talking with Missy, Maggie called Freddie to let him know she still wanted him to absolve her of that ticket he gave her. She said to him, "Hello, Freddie. Hope you're doing well. I knew you would call, Maggie. I'm doing well and hope you're fine. And I can't wait for you to come over," Freddie said to her. Then Maggie said to him, "Well, Freddie, one reason why I called was to let you know that I wouldn't be coming over tonight. I mean, the weather is just too bad to come out." Freddie replied, "Sorry to hear that, Maggie, and I'm very disappointed I won't be seeing you tonight. I had so much planned for you." With that last statement of Freddie's, Maggie became even more excited and looked forward to seeing him even more. "Why did it have to snow tonight?" she thought. Then she continued to say to him, "You know, Freddie, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I've thought of you some, too." Freddie replied, "You know, Maggie, I've thought of you a lot more. You remember how it used to be. Well, I want it to be that way again." Maggie quickly responded to that idea in less than a favorable way, still trying to fight those feelings of wanting to see him. She ended up saying, "Freddie, things are so different now. You have your life and I have mine." Then Freddie responded, "But Maggie, I know you get lonely a lot, being on the road so much seeing your parents over there in Flint. Come on now, you know how it used to be, don't you? And you know that's how I want it to be again." Without responding to his last statement, Maggie said, "Okay, Freddie, I need to go now because I'm very tired, but I'll come back tomorrow." Freddie spoke with intentions that were not too different from Maggie's about their coming together again. He said to her, "I'm looking forward to that, Maggie. And by the way, I'll give you a call tomorrow morning." The conversation between them ended at that point. We'll take a break now, and when we return, we'll finish the show. Thank you. Welcome back. With the decision made to visit her old friend, Freddie, the next day, and to avoid being on the road in bad weather conditions that night, Maggie stayed at a local hotel and had a good night's sleep. She awoke the next morning and saw that snow was continuing to fall, although much lighter than it had been the night before. Maggie waited for Freddie to call her, as he said he would do, but she did not hear from him. She waited, and she waited, until almost noontime. Maggie started to be concerned over his apparent oversight. Then she realized Freddie had no commitment to her. That came only from her husband, Fred. We'll see what happens next in episodes to come. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like for you to remember, that whatever you may be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.